Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillahi Rabbil alemin. Ve salatu ve selamu ala şerefil enbiye vel mürselin. Muhammedun Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve aleyhi ve sahbihi ve sellem. Teslimen kethiren kethira. Amma ba'du. Yesterday we spoke about tavakkul and the importance of tavakkul, the benefit of tavakkul. The one who has tavakkul has a life which is completely free from any kind of stress in this world. So a life of complete happiness and total contentment. And inshallah, in the akhirah, that person will have Jannah without hisab. Because this is what Rasulullah ﷺ promised us. The issue is, how do you get there? How do you get tawakkul? The answer is very simple to state, and it's very simple to do. But if we want to complicate our life by making shaitan into our close friend, then we have problems. And the answer is very simple, which is obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا. That is the ayat which we hear in every Jummah, in every khutbah, anywhere in the world. The one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only that person, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا, only that person has achieved the status of complete and total and final success. The difference between falah and fawz. Falah is temporary success after which there is some more test. And fawz is success after which there is no test. And Allah said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا. So obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much obedience? Complete and total obedience. Very simple. Obedience means only one thing. If you are doing partial obedience, then it's not obedience because it is disobedience. Selective obedience is disobedience. So if you choose to obey, if there are three rules, you choose to obey two and you leave out one, then you are a disobedient person because there are three rules and you picked what you liked and you left what you didn't like, then it's not obedience. It is disobedience. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only did Allah point it out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the most severe punishment for the person who does selective obedience. Not for the person who completely rejects everything. Now obviously, I am not suggesting that that is what you should do. The Pope Francis, in the Christmas address, he told the Christians, he said, it is better for you to be atheist than for you to call yourself Christian and not go to church. Or you go to church occasionally. He said, it is better for you to be an atheist. Now, obviously, I won't say that. But I'm saying that he also means the same thing. He said, either you do it or you don't do it. What kind of thing is this? You are hanging in the middle somewhere. You say, I'm a Muslim. But then you are doing selective obedience. This is one of the biggest evils that we have in our Muslim society, where people say, no, but you know, after all, they are doing something. Please understand, by obeying Allah, you are not doing ihsan on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not doing ihsan on Allah by doing something. So Allah should be happy with this something. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. This is an attitude of arrogance, and this is an attitude that results in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised hardship in this world. And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they will be turned towards the worst of punishment. Who? Not the people who have rejected everything, but people who say they are Muslims and they do selective obedience. They pick something and they don't pick something else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Allah asked a rhetorical question. And Allah said, do you take something from the book and you leave out something? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ. Is it that you have iman on some things in the book? وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. And you reject other things? وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ And the one among you who does this kind of thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him what? Allah said, khizyun fil hayati dunya. Allah said, I will make his life miserable in this world. I will give him hardship after hardship. I will make him zaleel. I will humiliate him. He will get diseases. He will get accidents. His business will collapse. His family will be disrupted. He will get sicknesses. Khizyun fil hayati dunya. Allah promised. Believe me, I'm not cursing anybody. I'm telling you the ayat of the Quran. Go look it up. Khizyun fil hayati dunya. Allah said, your life in this world will be miserable. وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ And on the day of judgment, what will happen to you? يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْأَذَابِ They will be turned towards the أَشَدِّ الْأَذَابِ, the worst of the punishment. Not any ordinary punishment, worst of the punishment. To whom? Not to the one who rejects everything, but to the one who does selective obedience, which is what we Muslims do. We pick something, we leave something. We pray when we feel like praying. We don't go to the masjid even though we know we are supposed to pray in the masjid. The women, some of them, they know they must wear hijab. When they go to some religious function, they will tie the dupatta on their head and then rest of the time, no hijab. We know we should have our marriages according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which means nikah, either in the, preferably in a masjid, but if there is no masjid, it can be done at home, followed by a walima, in which you don't invite the whole world and his wife. You invite your family, you invite a few other people. Just one function. And you give them something. It is not even necessary in the walima to have a full, you know, dinner or a meal or a lunch. It's a matter of celebrating. More than celebrating, it's a matter of making known that you have got married. So tomorrow somebody sees you with a woman, they don't think that you are doing something haram. So you have this walima. What do? We have a walima. We have a function called walima. But before the walima, we have saanchak, we have mehndi, we have haldi, we have mirchi, we have adrak lasan, we have garam masala, we have potlika masala, we have all of these ceremonies. Now we also have sangeet, in which you call dancing girls and you call singing girls from God knows where. And then you have this walima in between. Then you have the nikah. On the day of the nikah, you have this huge, celebration and dawat, huge dinner or whatever it is, and then you insert a walima in between. And I forgot chauthi, right? Hyderabad weddings, how many? 7 days, Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. And then you say, no, but you say, and you, if you ask the poor, hungry people who have no food in their house, the destitute, beggars, who say, why did you go to this wedding? No, I only went to the walima because attending the walima is sunnah. Who are you fooling? How is it that you have a wedding in which everything is haram, or most of it is haram, and then you insert one walima in between, and you say you are following the sunnah? So what were you following when you went to the other functions? And somebody the other day told me, no, but you know that saanchak and mehndi and all, and the sangeet, the people have it only at home. So if you do zina at home, it is halal. If you drink alcohol at home, it is halal. Now I'm asking a serious question. What is wrong with the question? If something is wrong, it is wrong whether you do it in your house or whether you do it in a public place. How does it become right? So just because you do, this is the problem. This is the meaning of selective obedience. You want to disobey Allah, then you want to find some ta'wil. You know, when the Bani Israel did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned their faces into the faces of monkeys and pigs. Go read the Quran. This is what they did. They were prohibited from fishing on a particular day. So what did they do? They set the traps the previous night. And then they picked up the traps, the fish traps, the following day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are trying to fool Allah. So if you try to fool Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned their heads into the heads of pigs and monkeys. For doing this, exactly the same thing. Trying to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to make all sorts of ta'wilat. You are not supposed to do something, period. Khalas, leave it. Instead of that, you make all kinds of excuses, this, that. Please understand, somebody committing haram and somebody participating in that haram are equal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ghibat is haram. The one who is doing ghibat, the one who is speaking ill about somebody behind their back, it is like eating the flesh of his dead brother. Read the ayat in Surah Al-Hujurat. Somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, but I was not there, I was not speaking, I was simply sitting there. He said, the one who is listening to that is equal in the crime. The one saying it and the one hearing him, the one listening to that are both equal. What does it mean? It means that something is haram, one person is doing it, another person is helping that, is facilitating that, is participating in that, they are both equal. Earning interest, paying interest, bearing witness to that transaction, writing that transaction, all four are equal. Even though the one bearing witness and the one writing the transaction has not benefited from that, he has neither taken interest nor has he given interest. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they are all of them are equal. Why is it that you do not give your house on rent to a bank? Is it permissible to give your house on rent to a bank? Is it permissible to give your property or your shop or something on rent to a bar or to a liquor shop? Is it permissible? Now you might say, well, you know, after all, it's my shop. I mean, you know, I'm not participating in that. No. Any form of helping or participating in a transaction which is haram is haram. So how does it make it halal for you to participate in other activities which are clearly prohibited in Islam? This is selective obedience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised azab in this dunya and azab in the akhirah. What must we do if we want to develop tawakkul? How must we obey Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that also. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Allah said, oh, you believe, enter into Islam completely and fully. Please understand, the ayat is addressed to people who already believe. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah did not say, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. No. Allah said, oh, you who believe. What does it mean? It means that simply because you say, لا إله إلا الله, it does not mean that you have entered into Islam completely. You only stated the kalima. There is much more to be done. So Allah is saying, those who claim to have belief, enter into Islam completely and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Verily, shaitan is your worst enemy. Following footsteps means that you are doing it by yourself. Shaitan is not taking you by the hand. He is not taking you by the neck. He is not dragging you in chains. Footsteps are there, your choice to follow them or not to follow them. You are making the choice to follow the footsteps. And Allah is saying, that is your worst enemy. Why are you following his footsteps? If you want to follow his footsteps, then those footsteps can only lead to one place. Yes or no? Those footsteps cannot lead anywhere else. Right? They can lead only to one place. So is that where you want to go? If that is not where you want to go, why are you following those footsteps? This is the issue of complete obedience. If we do complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open our hearts to hidayat. Allah will fill our hearts with his nur. Allah will fill our hearts with his muhabbat. Allah will fill our hearts with the muhabbat of his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will keep us on the path of righteousness and guidance, on the sirat al-mustaqim, which we ask Allah for, hidina sirat al-mustaqim, and inshallah al-musta'an, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim al-dallin. Allah will save us from being among the maghdubi alayhim al-dallin, and Allah will put us among the people on whom Allah did his in'am. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us completely and totally obedient. And let us make a promise to do it from now. Whatever you did, khalas, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to forgive all that. Make tawbah, Allah will forgive. Whatever you did, inshallah, Allah will forgive you. Don't worry about that. But now onwards, don't do it. Do not insist on sin. Because if you are insisting on sin, you are insisting on the punishment of Allah.
You are telling Allah, punish me, punish me, punish me, punish me, punish me. He will punish you. Make no mistake. If you insist on sin, then you are insisting on punishment and Allah will punish you. If you leave sin, then you are asking Allah for His forgiveness and inshallah Allah will forgive you. Choice is yours. Choice is mine. I remind myself and you, let us make the right choice because that choice is forever. There is no changing that. Once that choice has been made and we have gone into our cover, khalas. No change after that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us in a to keep us in a state of iman and to take us in a state of iman. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.